As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Each year, you and your community show your support for CITR by donating with FunDrive, our annual fundraiser. Get involved again this year with our theme, Growing Our Cultures. This year, we've got a goal of $40,000 to improve the training and development of volunteers and to support the myriad of cultures represented on our airwaves. You can help us reach our goal, and it's not without perks. By donating, you'll receive cool CITR swag like growlers, LPs, on-air shoutouts, and more. It all starts on February 25th with a kickoff party in the pit and an old-school telethon running all week on air. We're excited. Are you?
It's James Wood, half of Mega Bear. You're listening to CITR. Earfook!
Do you like Friends? Well, we like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gives you all kinds of deals with our friends on Main Street, including 10% off at Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Red Cat Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Cause I was a loner until I met you, and I let you
Good afternoon. You are tuned in now to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory at the University of British Columbia. My name is Eleanor.
My name is Erica.
And every week we bring you 100% FemCon tracks and talk about a variety of different things.
It's true.
We started today's show off with a song called Loner by Kali Uchis. Not sure if I pronounced that right, but really nice, mellow track. And that was off of an album that came out recently called Por Vida. Yes. Special day here today.
Very special day. We've got a kind of alternative show planned for FemConcept today, and we also have a very special guest with us. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. My name is Stefana Fratilla, and I am a producer here and a master's student in political science.
That's great. I studied political science too.
Cool. So, you're on our show today, and thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
And you're here because you're playing a piece that is part of your master's thesis at UBC.
Yeah.
Could you tell us about that, please?
Yeah, for sure. So, we'll be broadcasting a piece that I performed last April called No History, and it is a part of my master's thesis. It's an audio portion, basically, and it accompanies the more theoretical and the also kind of creative nonfiction elements of my thesis. And generally speaking, my thesis focuses on settler colonialism and settler shame in the aftermath of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that we had in Canada regarding the Indian residential school system.
Wow. So we're going to play that at 1:30 for everybody listening. So definitely stay tuned into that. So this piece is something that you performed last year. Can you give a little bit more context about what it means and what No History refers to and kind
definitely.
Of where you were what you were thinking with the piece?
Yeah. So I was trying to come up with a way to bear witness through sound, and I chose that because I kind of course had been thinking a lot about me as a settler studying on Musqueam territory, and I was hoping to kind of create something that made sense in terms of my abilities and also my role as a settler. So I moved here when I was a young girl from Romania with my family, and but only really came into contact with these kinds of issues in university, which I hope it changes. I hope that in the future that children will learn about the history of colonialism in Canada much sooner than I did. So I kind of felt really obligated to create a piece that was one that would bear witness to colonialism and ongoing violence. Colonial violence. And so I thought it would make sense to focus in on this sort of kind of audio bit that Stephen Harper had where he said that Canada has no history of colonialism. And I mean, it's a really kind of, it's an audio bit that is extremely powerful because it's factually incorrect, of course. And but the other element is that he actually said that a year after he gave an official government apology for the Indian residential school system. So that was in 2008. And then his kind of comment came in 2009, sort of pretty candid at a press conference or, you know, with the press. So it really was truly kind of what he believes. And so I wanted to kind of look back at that moment because I think that a lot of people missed it. I think a lot of people don't know he ever said that. And I wanted to really bring that into a space where, generally speaking, people are kind of not interested in hearing a kind of political statement or political piece. And so I performed that at a gallery in Chinatown in the downtown east side, where predominantly white settlers come in and see performances and shows. And it was kind of a decision that I made in terms of also kind of reaching a broader audience with these issues. And kind of I've just struggled really hard to have any kind of conversations specifically with settlers regarding like the roles that we have as settlers here and what we could, you know, do better, and even just an acknowledgement of mm-hmm. of the fact that one is a settler is a kind of controversial conversation to have, you know, at a dance party. And I'm all about just totally just destroying that and disrupting that and intervening and being like, no, we can definitely talk about that all the time. In fact, we should be talking about it, and not just talking about it, also doing something, of course. But so the piece kind of came from a lot of frustration that was really building up for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was the kind of some of the context for that.
Cool. In listening to you talk about it, I'm wondering if you feel, if any in any way, that you've kind of bridged what I see sometimes as this gap between, you know, post-secondary or higher education, ivory tower, creation of these intelligent knowledge systems mm-hmm. that almost seems detached from real world lived experiences. And that gap feels so wide sometimes, and so it feels like an issue to me. And I'm wondering if you feel like in the creation of your piece, do you see it bridging that gap or no?
I think generally speaking, it's still quite experimental. And so there's always going to be, I think, certain listeners that just aren't going to kind of be able to engage with it, just like certain readers might not be able to engage with, you know, the kind of political theory that I'm so passionate
right.
about.
Which is a great, mm-hmm. I mean, just to backpedal, I think that stuff is important and it has an important purpose, but sometimes it seems, it's talking about something and it seems so far mm-hmm. removed from the actual thing.
From the lived experience. So I guess mm-hmm. that was another kind of, I struggled a lot with this piece in its creation and its performance, and then also in the aftermath of kind of talking about it and writing about it, because I wrote it from a place of trying to embody settler shame and kind of sort of do it by like example, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt quite strongly that there was a piece missing in terms of conversations I was trying to have. And this also applies in academic context. I mean, I have I'm very supported here by my supervisor and by the people I get to work with and my cohort. But you know, academia is an extremely suffocating place, just like the dance club is a suffocating place, just
totally.
Like all of these public spaces are suffocating. And so I think that there's a huge part of me really wanted to bring sound and music into my academic work. Because I wanted to kind of show actually that there's a lot of similarities
mm-hmm.
and that but the thing that is missing is that lived experience piece for a lot of people, and so it's really easy to ignore or to disengage, and just in the dance setting, you know, just dance and not think about these things, and then in the academic setting, just kind of take the path that that academia has laid out for you. You know, do your research like this. Don't ask too many questions. Assume you have the right always to that knowledge, you know, and these are really complex issues, and decolonizing methodologies are kind of not generally used by academics,
yeah.
unfortunately.
Yeah, totally. And the problem with always saying, well, this isn't the space to discuss it, this isn't the space, this isn't the space, then where are those conversations happening? It seems
right.
like they're not going to happen in the places where they really need to, where people might feel uncomfortable and they might not feel great at all, they might feel terrible, but that seems to be kind of necessary in a lot of ways.
Definitely. And a lot of the work that I've been trying to do is kind of embracing the messier, more uncomfortable aspects of decolonization. And of course, I mean, my reaction to all of this was to make music or to make sound, because that's just what I do. That's how I process everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I really wanted with this piece to kind of I did something which I would call like time-stretched witnessing. So I time-stretched audio, which allows sort of the listener to kind of hear it more carefully because mm-hmm. they have to, because it takes longer to listen to.
Right.
So that was sort of part of the concept I had as well in terms of bearing witness, kind of making that a kind of longer, more caring process. But of course your audience has to be willing to engage in to some degree. And that's always sort of, a challenge, but it's a challenge that I think is very real and mm-hmm. kind of representative of a lot of how this kind of work happens on the ground as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. Well, we're going to hear another track and then we'll be back chatting more about the project. We're going to play the song Trill Friends by Erica Badu, selection from Stefana. And then we'll be back here on Femme Concept on CITR. Stay tuned.
Friends, homeboys, and some of them we wish we never knew at all. Homegirls, see some of them we wish we never knew at all. Homeboys, see some of them we wish we never knew at all. Homeboys, and some of them we wish we never knew at all. Homegirls. See some of them we wish we never knew at all. Homeboys. See some of them we wish we never knew. Homeboys.
I'm in the kitchen, I'm cooking and
some of them we wish we never knew at all. Homegirls.
Running around in the city.
See some of them we wish we never knew at all. Homeboys.
Flipping and switches and bitches.
See some of them we wish we never knew at all. Homeboys. We never knew at all. Homegirls. See some of them we wish we never knew at all. Homeboys. See some of them we wish we never knew.
You're feeling
friends. It's a word we use every day. But most of the time we use it in the wrong way. Friends. It's a word we use every day. But most of the time we use it in the wrong way. Friends. It's a word we use every day. But most of the time we use it in the wrong way. Friends is a word we use every day. But most of the time we use it in the wrong way.
If you don't believe in the love, you're missing a good thing. Because I'm genuine, I'm genuine. If you don't believe in the love, you're missing a good thing.
We're back. This is Femme Concept on CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Coast Salish territory of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. We have Stefana Fratila today with us. Very exciting for Femme Concept and CITR and the Student Union Building at large. So, Stefana, would you mind telling us a little bit about the performance itself that you had done last year in April and kind of the repercussions / developments that resulted?
Yeah, for sure. Generally, the performance went over really smoothly, and the audience was really receptive, and I was really, in the zone while it happened, so I wasn't sure if it was working, obviously. But I noticed that the excerpts of Harper kind of made people cringe and kind of, move around in their seats kind of uncomfortably, which was definitely my intention, to kind of use these very explicit statements about colonialism and residential schools to, so that there's just no way you could listen to that piece and not have to think about what everything, like what is a government apology even, what does it mean? And then have to kind of confront this sort of second aspect of what he said, which was that Canada has no history of colonialism. So, and those kind of interlock in a really specific way, and they kind of almost talk to one another in that sense. Those statements totally contradict each other. So, and then, yeah, when I finished, I talked a bit with some of the audience members came up to me and spoke about their experiences with the piece. And, I was really happy because the people that came up to me were really moved and, remarked that they had kind of not expected or anticipated coming to that show and thinking about these topics, and felt really kind of empowered in the sense of feeling like that was kind of a heavy experience, but one that they would kind of take with them and kind of reflect on again, and that's another reason, which is why it's on the internet and I made it public like immediately, because it is a piece that can be experienced sort of anytime, just listening in a dark room or walking around, which of course changes how you experience the piece, but it is really, really, really about the audio and not about me per se performing it. And I really wanted to kind of be in the role of a producer and not in the spotlight so much and with the piece. So I felt pretty strongly about having, I see myself more as having put Stephen Harper in conversation with Tanya Tagak, who's the time-stretched, some of the time-stretched pieces are from a song called Ancestors that she has. And she was actually in a residential school. And she's an incredible and inspiring artist, Indigenous artist. And I wanted to kind of do as much as I could to have her voice overpower Harper's. And so I really hoped to kind of be more of like a producer with that and sort of put them in conversation rather than actually, make it about me or my experiences as a settler. And so instead of that, I'm again trying to embody that settler shame, and I tried to do that with the performance as well in the way that I performed it. So I was kind of small. I was sort of like kneeling and performing like over my computer and my gear. And there's a vocal element in the second half, and so that one I can just sort of contextualize that a little bit. That was I have this obsession with certain songs from the 90s, and one of them is called Differences by Genuine. And so I really wanted to take a lyric from that song and kind of put it in a totally different context. And the lyric is basically, my whole life has changed since you came in, and which is kind of it really can be interpreted a number of ways, but I wanted to kind of bring in this piece that's sort of generally regarded as kind of like vapid R&B, whatever, and bring it into this super heavy and personal and really complex piece, and sort of have it be the only vocals in this entire song. And I thought that would be kind of beautiful, and also it's a kind of irony because that is sort of what the audience will latch on to, you know, immediately.
Of course.
These sort of R&B lyrics.
Yeah.
Which make the piece more catchy. Because the content is not catchy. The content is heavy and hard.
Mm-hmm. And you have to walk, well, you don't have to, but I can, you want to walk that line, like what you were saying with before, with having people want to engage and want to listen.
Absolutely.
But you don't want to compromise the integrity of what the conversations you're starting to spark, right?
Definitely.
It's a hard, hard balance to strike.
Definitely. And one of the biggest concerns I have with the TRC and the various events that happened around the TRC is the fact that the audiences, especially settler audiences, were kind of brought into this or kind of exposed to this really the spectacle of Indigenous trauma. And it was really a kind of a sickening sort of dramatization, like scene of what had happened in the past. And the settlers largely didn't connect with the ongoing reality for Indigenous people, and did not, and the patterns of violence were not made clear to settlers, and settlers kind of got to leave feeling potentially guilty in some manner, but mostly just feeling really removed and feeling really comfortable in again in that space of settler innocence. And so again with a piece like this, it kind of disrupts that, and or attempts to disrupt that. And the, you know, having you have, like, that was a thing for me that really mattered. It was like the audience came out there to see an experimental show with experimental music, so they're already kind of expecting something a little bit more experimental. But at the same time, that venue and generally the kind of shows that take place in that area, they're not political. They're completely by choice, decide consciously all the time to not engage with the local communities in any sense. They're not easy to access. They're, I mean, just actually literally not easy to access.
Yeah,
they're
totally
hard to find, but they're also like up tons of stairs. And
yeah.
I mean, there's so much there that is problematic. And, but at the same time, I was like, yeah, all you white boys came out to see this show. There you go.
Yeah.
Here it is. Like, you weren't expecting this, but you have agreed in a lot of ways to kind of to be open to it.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Which is not how the TRC worked.
No.
Complete opposite.
Not that we need settlers to agree to anything, but true. We need them, I think, to have, as settlers have to have some kind of extra, you know, education around the reality of ongoing colonial violence.
I agree 100%. So I would love to keep talking because this is a really great conversation. We are going to turn now to play your piece live in The Nest and the UBC Student Union Building, as well as, of course, on the airwaves. So just quickly, do you want to talk at all about why you wanted to play it out into this space, even if you can just do it, I know it's hard, but a quick brief explanation of the reasoning for that.
Definitely. I would like to play this piece out here, not just on the radio, although that's really kind of, that's important too. I'm really interested in having a kind of intervention in this really expensive new student union building, which is a really populated and public university space. And I want to ideally have a audio intervention that makes the predominantly settler students here confront and think of the space not as neutral but as a contentious space that they have roles in.
Great. Okay, we're going to hear a little bit from D. Tiffany, Mix for Sisters, while we just do a little switch over here. So stay tuned, and thanks again for joining us. We'll be back at
thanks.
The end.
Thanks. Thank you.
All right.
Check. My name is Eleanor. I am one of the hosts of Femme Concept, which is a weekly radio show here on CITR 101.9 FM. My co-host Erica is just in the booth over there. And we have a very special presentation happening on our show today. We are going to be airing a piece from Stefana Fertilla's thesis, and she is a master's student studying political science here at UBC. Her thesis is titled Decolonizing Reconciliation, Refusing Settler Innocence Through Sound. And the piece that we're gonna be playing is called No History. It starts a little bit quieter and then it gets quite a bit louder. So I'm really excited that you're all here to hear it. And I hope that you enjoy the experience. Thank you.
Thank you. We are one of the most stable regimes in history. There are very few countries that can say for nearly 150 years they've had the same political system without any social breakdown, political upheaval, or invasion. Have no history of colonialism. The government recognizes that the absence of an apology has been an impediment to healing and reconciliation. Therefore, on behalf of the Government of Canada and all Canadians, I stand before you in this chamber, so vital, so central to our existence as a country, to apologize to Aboriginal peoples for the role the Government of Canada played in the Indian residential schools system. To the approximately 80,000 living former students and all family members and communities, the Government of Canada now recognizes that it was wrong to forcibly remove children from their homes, and we apologize for having done it.
No history of colonialism.
Powerless to protect your own children from suffering the same experience. And for this, we are sorry. Thank you.
You're tuned in now to Femme Concept on CITR Radio 101.9 FM. That was the piece No History by Stefana Fertilla, and she is in the studio with us.
Hello.
And we just played that live in the sub into the Student Union building where CITR is located very loudly and watched the reactions of people.
Certainly did.
So to give a little bit of context, the performance is part of your thesis, which is titled...
It's a long one.
Yes.
Long title.
decolonizing reconciliation, refusing settler innocence through sound. So how was that experience for you of watching that?
It was really interesting because I performed that piece originally in a really dark space, and everyone was kind of complicit in terms of accepting that they were at a show. But here it was the opposite. It was daytime, sunshine. Now it's actually the sun's gone, which I think is kind of symbolic. But yeah, the audience was made up of passerbys. So the witnesses to the piece were not aware of being part of a project. So the reactions were really interesting. I kind of traveled around the whole Nest, the Student Union Building, and watched reactions. A lot of curiosity, which is great. I am personally, curiosity is a positive kind of outcome of this project for me. So I was happy to see that. A lot of people were watching and kind of staring, and then at some point they would sort of move on. And I would love to know what was going on in their minds when they decided to move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's interesting. There's a lot of things that take up space in this building, particularly it's the home to a lot of different mm-hmm. events by different groups. But I don't know if they're ever as loud as this, or it's just interesting the way that people react normally is I feel like a lot of people just zone out to whatever's happening. But I felt mm-hmm. like I saw a lot of people, yeah, inquiring and kind of wanting to know what was going on. And then I'd watch them read the little sign that we had. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely a number of people left, which is also, I think, really interesting. Mm-hmm. Or at least left the kind of space that is directly in front of the speakers. Mm-hmm. Although upstairs it was very audible, but not like deafeningly loud or anything. And up there, people were still, they were able to kind of watch and from a kind of comfortable distance, which again is really interesting given what we've talked about today.
Totally. Well, we've reached the end of our hour on CITR. I want to say thank you again for coming on and having us be a small part of your project.
Thank you so much for having me on air. It's been really a pleasure.
I look forward to seeing how the rest of it kind of unfolds for you, and I'm sure it will be this ongoing thing that will probably never end. So
definitely, that's how it is. That's true. It never ends. The defense is actually on a date, though. That's on the 18th of March.
Wow.
So that part is real.
Yes. Well, best of luck in that. I feel as though you'll do fantastically.
Thank you very much.
Okay, stay tuned in. We've got Radio Zero up next, followed by Nardwar. And it'll be a great afternoon. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.